The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL. Well, whatever. Yes, CBS Sports NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. We have an emergency podcast. Derek Carr signing with the New Orleans Saints. Joining me to break it down, Tyler Sullivan, aka Sully. What's up, buddy?
What's going on, Will? It's sometimes daily, sometimes multi-daily. It's whenever we get these big news, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, sometimes it's like 40 times a week, and yeah. Sometimes it's and sometimes I'm hosting, sometimes I'm not, and sometimes it's a Ryan Wilson draft podcast called "With the First Pick," which you should check out as well. We're all a big happy football family here at the podcast, CBS Podcast Realm, and look, Derek Carr. I mean, look. I'm just glad he didn't sign with the Jets. I didn't want to have that poor son SFB to have to deal with the New York media after seeing how he went. Look, so we heard reports yesterday that the Saints and the Panthers were very much in the mix, but the Jets were still the favorite. There'd been nothing but flowers and roses and butterflies for Derek Carr since he visited the Jets. The Jets talked really nicely about him. He talked really nicely about the Jets. Everything was going to be wonderful. And then he eventually signed with the Saints and his old team, his old head coach in Dennis Allen, who was with him as a rookie in Oakland before the team moved to Las Vegas. Sully, what do you think about this fit in general?
Well, I do think it's funny because Derek Carr now goes from being the number 4 quarterback in his division that we all talked about last offseason when Russell Wilson came into Denver. You have Patrick Mahomes, you have Justin Herbert. Everybody was putting Derek Carr at number 4 in terms of the AFC West quarterbacks. He now goes to the NFC South and he is the bona fide number one quarterback.
Good point.
By default, because there is literally no quarterbacks in that division right now, but I do find that interesting. And from that standpoint, if Derek Carr is looking to win as fast as possible and to get into the postseason, going to the NFC South makes a ton of sense. Going to the AFC East with the New York Jets, yeah, they're a team on the rise. They have a ton of young talent. You can certainly contend, but now you're in an AFC East with the Buffalo Bills and the Miami Dolphins who are getting better. You're in an AFC conference where you're playing Patrick Mahomes still. You're still going through with the Cincinnati Bengals and Joe Burrow. Now you go to the NFC, which is way more wide open, and this might be a conference that is losing quarterbacks over the course of this offseason, depending on what happens with Aaron Rodgers possibly going to the AFC, and this move kind of helps that to New York. But ultimately, this is a good move for Derek Carr to contend immediately in 2023. He has familiarity with the system with Dennis Allen, as you mentioned, his former head coach as the Oakland Raiders. And he has weapons like Chris Olave and Alvin Kamara and Michael Thomas, if he's still there, when healthy, a viable option. So this is a decent move for New Orleans. I'm curious to see how the money's going to work out. We know that it's a 4-year deal. We don't know the specifics of the money aspect. Obviously, it's going to be a big number. But how they make that fit with their cap, they have a plenty of free agents that they need to re-sign on top of their draft class. So there's more steps here with New Orleans to see what their overall roster is going to be. But overall, they answered their biggest question, which was getting a quarterback.
Yeah. Here's the thing, too. Derek Carr, look, we get into the actual quarterback aspect of it in a second. But I think it's important to note that if you go back and look at his last contract with the Raiders, he got basically no guaranteed money. Like, he got very minimal guaranteed money. I've said this over and over again. No one, this never happens in the NFL, and no one reported the amount of guaranteed money that Derek Carr was receiving from the Raiders after that last contract. Like it never got reported. No one talked about it. That does not happen in the NFL. It was like, oh, Derek Carr's getting 28 or like $42 million a year. Like he is, you know, and it's like, no, this is a deal where they can get out of it very quickly. And they did. So I think like that, like there's a really good chance that whenever this deal is reported, and again, the Saints are, I have the Saints at, is that right? $18 million over the salaries?
I have it at Spotrac, whatever you call it. It's, let me see. They are 28th in the league. Yep, 17.25.
Yeah, okay, 18 over the cap. I think over the cap is actually ahead of Spotrac usually.
Okay.
There's actually a whole beef. Like there's a weird beef between like the two sites.
Cap turf war. I like it.
Yeah. It's cap beef. Yeah. There's like cap site beef. Yeah, but like roughly $18 million. And I think you can get there kind of easily. Yeah. So even just a basic restructure of Cameron Jordan, run the restructure tool on over the cap and like restructuring Cam Jordan and Marshawn Lattimore would get you $10 million. Would get you $10 million on each other contract. So like there's a way to get down. Like the Saints have been doing this magic pile of cap beans for years. Even though Sean Payton's gone, you still have Mickey Loomis and Jeff Ireland who are very good at doing that. They'll find a way to get under the cap. The Derek Carr thing won't be a big deal. If anything, I would guess that Carr gets a minimal signing bonus. So it's not going to, you know, like they'll find a way to make Derek Carr cheap for this year. And it'll probably be a 2-year deal with two team options after that, or maybe a 3-year deal with a team option after that. Something along those lines for Derek Carr is what I would expect. Yeah, go ahead.
To go off to that point, this is the whole reason why they didn't trade for him, right? Like they had this all during Super Bowl week. This was this multi-day visit to New Orleans. This has been the team that has at least been the most aggressive in terms of immediately meeting with him while he was still a member of the Raiders and continuing to show interest after he was released. But this is the whole reason why it was at least wise for Derek Carr to find his next club post-release with the Raiders, because you're talking about a ton of guaranteed money that new team would have to absorb in his old contract that became fully guaranteed at a certain date. It's why they got rid of him, the Raiders did. So this is kind of the reason why New Orleans did not pull the trigger to that trade and decide to bring him aboard, because they knew, hey, yeah, we could lose him in free agency to other teams, but also if we are able to sign him, we can craft this contract the way that we want to get ourselves under the cap and maybe retain some players that we have in free agency.
Yeah, and like the Saints are a really interesting team now because, as you pointed out, the NFC is so watered down. It's like, I mean, like you look at the teams. I mean, the teams that are in the NFC, and you know, the NFC South. The Saints right now, independent of what happens in the draft and free agency, the Saints right now should be the favorite to win the division. I mean, like, which is just wild to think about, considering that, you know, it's mostly, and there you go, Derek Carr's now tweeted out, who dat, indicating that he is, in fact, going to the Saints, which we knew, but, you know, it's nice to get official. It was funny, by the way, Mike Garofalo tweeted out that David Carr was signing with the Saints, and then, you know, of course, got ribbed by his colleagues for, you know, like, you know, that is your colleague, pal.
That would be some news.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
New CBS Sunday.
You collect rewards, right?
This is how I make my living.
When something is lost,
everyone's looking for something.
He finds it.
You strong swimmer?
So-so.
So-so. So-so's okay.
Justin Hartley stars.
How you survive, you make quick, smart decisions, and you never let panic take the wheel.
Sounds cool.
It is cool, actually. Very cool.
Tracker. New Sunday on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
That would be some news. Of course, David Carr will be picking the Saints to win the Super Bowl this year. That's also breaking news. I think that, you know, like if you were picking somebody to win the division today, and that's not when we make the picks, and that's not how that works, but the Saints would be the pick. Like, I don't see how you could suggest that You know, you think the Falcons or Panthers will take a leap forward. We just don't know what they're going to have at quarterback. And the same thing with the Buccaneers. The Saints roster is good enough on both sides of the ball where, you know, assuming Alvin Kamara can, you know, get clear of whatever, and you have Chris Olave, and we don't know that, you know, theory, you have Michael, you know, like there's enough there with Derek Carr, assuming he can play at a, like, I mean, like, what level do we expect? Maybe this is the next question. What level do we expect out of Derek Carr?
Well, I don't think that we're going to be looking at, like, you know, Matthew Stafford going to Los Angeles type of, you know, a seismic swing there for New Orleans. I think that that's putting a little too much pressure on Derek Carr, but I think you're going to see a guy that's basically been the same guy that we saw in Las Vegas. I don't think that we're going to have a dramatic leap. I mean, this is a guy last year that was playing with the leading rusher in the NFL, Devontae Adams. Like, it's not like he was lacking weapons and that was the whole issue. So yeah, you're going to give him Alvin Kamara pending all that legal stuff. And, you know, in second year, Chris Olave, and who knows what happens. I don't think they can financially get out of that contract. So if he's on the field and healthy, yeah, those are some weapons. Now, they're going to be more competitive because of the division that they play in. So I think that we're still going to get the Derek Carr that we've always seen. I think that it's going to be a B-plus type of quarterback. I think that that's what New Orleans will be getting. And the odds are saying that they, you know, plus 130 to win the NFC South. I would look at Atlanta a little bit at plus 425. You're talking about a team that could make a huge swing for a quarterback, have the second most cap space in the NFL. If you can get the Saints at plus money here, then sure, I'll take that. But Atlanta, to me, if you're looking for a value play, that to me would be the most attractive, just considering the setup that they have going into the offseason.
So, like, I would want, you know, if you're building out a portfolio for, you know, division winners, and it's dangerous to do it in March, believe me. I paid the price I nearly paid a very steep price for the Buccaneers. I definitely paid a very steep price for the Packers last year. But I think if you're building out a portfolio for division winners, and you could get the Saints at plus money right now, it's a very good look, because there's a chance, and I'm just saying that, like, we don't know what the Falcons will do, we don't know what the Bucs will do, we don't know what the Panthers will do. There's a chance the Panthers draft Anthony Richardson at 9 and sign Jacoby Brissett, and then the Saints would probably close at, like, minus money. So if that's available right now, I think it's a good look. I don't think that you have to, like, you know, you don't have to uncork, you know, five units on it, you know, no. Just assuming that the Saints are going to end up winning the division. At plus 130, If the other teams in this division don't make meaningful upgrades at the quarterback position, and again, we don't know how it's going to happen. Like, if the Panthers trade for Aaron Rodgers, they'll be the favorites.
Yeah, for sure.
If the Falcons go get Lamar Jackson, mm-hmm. they're the huge favorites, and you have a terrible bet on the Saints. Jen, somebody in the chat pointed out that the C.J. Stroud for the Panthers, and again, that's sort of the calculus too that's hard to figure out right now, is that if the Panthers went and got somebody like C.J. Stroud or even a Bryce Young, which we don't think is we don't know if that's likely or possible at number 9, or whether they trade up or what. Like, if they did that, then I would probably make them the favorites as well, because you have guys who can make an impact right away in theory based on what we saw from C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young in their college careers. And then C.J. Stroud put on a phenomenal showing at the Combine. If the Panthers went and got, like, again, Richardson, that's a whole different ball of wax. So yeah. I just think it's like that. That's just part of the, you know, you're building out a portfolio and you have to just sort of be cognizant of what those teams might do and how it will shift the odds. And I don't think Aaron Rodgers or Lamar Jackson are coming to this division. I don't think the Buccaneers are going to make a big, like, I don't think Tom Brady's coming back, but I mean, okay. you know, weirder things have happened. So I think there's a decent chance that regardless of what happens in this offseason, Sully, that Derek Carr does go into 2023.
As Will's saying, the best quarterback in that division. I think that that's easily the case that's going to be here. And I'm with Will on that you look at what Carolina is set up to be now. Yeah, they could have dipped their toe into the Derek Carr waters, and they were obviously one of the teams interested reportedly. But I do think that they are now on a path here to all of a sudden go with the rookie quarterback, whether that be a Will Levis, like we were talking about, a C.J. Stroud, an Anthony Richardson. I don't think Bryce Young is going to be there. But ultimately, they're going down that road, like you're saying. Well, I think the Carolina Panthers go down the rookie quarterback route, because I don't think that Frank Reich is all of a sudden going to go, okay, I'll just roll with another veteran quarterback like Jimmy Garoppolo or something like that. I think that what he's had in Indy doesn't make a lot of sense for him to do this now. Yeah, sure, maybe Carr would give you the bigger upside. That's maybe where you would make that bet. But ultimately, I think you go down with the rookie quarterback.
Yeah, I think that's where they go to. And I think I was cut off. The Carr family snipered me, so that way I could. If you were going to
finish your internet,
yeah, you're going to finish my sentence. It was going to go, Derek Carr is the best, and there's a quarterback of all time. So the Carr family took me out. Yeah, I think it's a very good chance he goes into 2023 as the best quarterback in the division. Like, I think that's where because you wouldn't take her, you know, even if you like I would obviously take CJ Stroud over Derek Carr for the long haul, just for 2023.
For 2023, you're taking Derek Carr.
Even the most staunch Derek Carr hater. And by the way, what an egg for me in my face, how I spent like 10 years predicting the demise, or like 5 years predicting the demise and release of Derek Carr. Finally, they hired Josh McDaniels. I acquiesce, or I just cave and I become a Derek. I'm like, Derek Carr is going to have an incredible year. And he has a terrible, you know, he's a meh year and he gets released. I mean, God, it's unbelievable by me. What a pansy I am.
I do think that now that Carr is in New Orleans, we're kind of talking about it here a little bit with Carolina, but I do think the domino effect now is fascinating because this is the first big quarterback move to happen this offseason. It was expected to be the first move because, again, Carr was released. He was free to sign with whatever. He doesn't have to wait till the start of free agency. Now it starts to get interesting. Carolina, I think we all assume, is going to go down the rookie quarterback route, or at least that's what I think. I don't think they're going to go down with Frank Reich with another veteran. That doesn't make sense.
No. I think that they'll add a rookie and then they'll add somebody like Jacoby Brissett.
Sure. Yeah, that's right. That's right. I'm not saying
the idea that Frank Reich and the Panthers were going to just sign like Derek Carr, and that's just going to, I mean, I understand why it works in New Orleans. They needed a quarterback. They, you know, they're replacing basically Andy Dalton and Jameis Winston. What a perfect, I mean, like Derek Carr is kind of a good, you know, you're like upgrading off Andy Dalton. And, you know, you're giving yourself a little more, you're giving yourself upside without the craziness that comes with Jameis Winston. You're reuniting with his old head coach. And, you know, you have a veteran presence who, in a bad division where you sort of need to win, like you kind of got to, I think, you know, not that this sounds on the hot seat, just that, you know, Sean Payton's specter was looming for a while. And the Saints could use a, you know, this is a good time to go after a Derek Carr. It fits for both sides. The other thing I would say, too, before we get to the dominoes, is it's just that, like, I'm not kidding, man. I mean, Derek Carr's entire family blocked me on Twitter. Derek Carr, David Carr, and Darren Carr. Darren doesn't even play. He's like coaches high school football or something. And they blocked me because I said, I posted a video of Derek Carr spiking a throwing away a ball on fourth down with fourth and 18 with the game on the line. And David accused me of saying, he's like, that's a obvious play action like screen, and it's not like, you just don't throw the ball away. And like, I'm not saying I've talked to people who agree with me who were, I'm saying I wasn't wrong. And I you know, you hear all these stories about the fan, like everyone, all of them blocking all these Raiders beat reporters in Oakland and Vegas. They'd block them and they'd be like, oh, sorry, okay, unblock them, and like, you know, and they block them again. Like, going to the New York Jets would have been a really, really bad idea for this family. I don't care how good a fit it would have been. Derek Carr in the New York media market would have been a problemo.
I mean, already you were getting, just with the flirtation with the visit, we're talking about Derek Carr becoming a first ballot Hall of Famer. That was just off a visit. So
it's ridiculous.
That did seem like, you know, just not like it was going to mix well.
Did somebody say that?
That was a report that was the pitch to Derek Carr during his meeting with the Jets. They said, if you come to New York, I think it was Diana Rossini who had it from ESPN, that if you come to New Orleans, to New York and win, you will be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Which,
I got a lot of texts about that one because it was like, oh, look, it's Brinson Stafford tag, except it's Derek Carr. Isn't that ironic? I was like, yeah, that actually, it would be ironic. Thank you for using irony correctly, person who is harassing me about this Derek Carr take. Yeah, I mean, like, and I love Rossini, but that wasn't happening. Like, I don't, like, I mean, if you want a Super Bowl with the Jets, maybe he's a Hall of Famer. I mean, that, you know,
he currently has zero playoff wins. Let's just point that out. We're talking about the New Orleans Saints becoming the favorite to get into the postseason. But for Carr, it's about winning in the postseason. Yeah. He's been unable to do that so far.
Yeah, that's true. And look, I don't think Matthew Stafford had it. Did Stafford have a playoff win? He might have had one playoff win.
Maybe one.
Yeah. I mean, the the point being is this is a better fit culturally
for sure
and media wise for Derek Carr than it would have been for if he'd gone to the Saints. So domino wise, this is really interesting because, like, do you think that the Jets were willing to, and I also think it was really important for Derek Carr to find his team quickly.
Yeah, for sure.
Because you have this advantage where you and Jimmy Garoppolo are the only Jimmy G's actually not a free agent yet. He will be a free agent, right?
Yes.
He's not a free agent yet, is he?
No. No. The window opens, I believe, a week from now where you can negotiate.
Right. I mean, I was thinking because Jimmy G had been
right. He wasn't released. It wasn't like a car situation.
Yeah, his contract was, they restructured his contract. Right, exactly. So like the only guy, like there are no quarterbacks who are under contract for last year that are currently free agents and you are capable of signing Derek Carr by virtue of the way his contract was structured, with the timing being the bonus due 3 days after the Super Bowl versus 3 days into the new league year, was released by the Raiders and therefore becomes like anyone can sign him. And if Derek Carr wanted to, you heard the report, it was from his brother too. It's like, again, he's like, Derek's going to take his time and maximize, make sure. And like everybody's trying to drive up the value and hype up Derek Carr for all these spots. There were only a couple landing spots where he was going to end up going. It was either going to be the Jets or the Saints, in my opinion. And the Saints, again, made more sense. But Derek Carr needed to find his spot early because I don't think he even if he's the best quarterback in the free agent market, I don't think he wants to be out there competing against. For you, what's the next domino? Is it now a Rodgers move?
Well, now I think that was the other domino, right? Like, yes, we're waiting for these other quarterbacks to hit free agency, but Aaron Rodgers is a green light away from saying, all right, Green Bay, I want to go, trade me. And he could be traded at any point. So it's not like he had to wait either. So if you're Derek Carr, you can't be waiting around and saying, all right, I'm going to take my time and wait for Aaron Rodgers to come out of the darkness and say, okay, I want to be traded. So that basically eliminates New York from you because New York is one of the most heavy teams.
If Rodgers gets, let's say that Rodgers gets traded to the Jets, the Saints are like, hey, Derek, there's all the leverages that would be in the Saints' hands at that point in time.
And if you're New York, what's the huge difference between Jimmy Garoppolo and Derek Carr? In all honesty, other than health and durability, which is obviously a huge concern with Jimmy Garoppolo. So if you are the Jets, and I think that they played this right.
One of them wears black eyeshadow? I don't know.
I guess that's true. Right? One is insanely good looking, and the other one wears mascara. So
one cries a lot. One goes on dates with adult film actresses, and one cries a lot. I mean, that's basically.
But what I was saying is that if you're the New York Jets, you can wait. And you can kind of play this thing out, wait to see what Rodgers does. And if he decides he wants to be traded, all right, then you move on and you go all in to try to get him. If he decides to stay in Green Bay or do something else and you lose out on Derek Carr, I don't think that you're falling so far if you go out and pivot to Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't think it's that much of a free fall. I think it's more of a lateral move from Derek Carr to Jimmy Garoppolo.
You see the graphic if you're watching on youtube.com/NFL on CBS. You can also at youtube.com/pick6, I think, still in it redirects if you want. That's your jam. Derek Carr, when the temperature is 40 degrees or colder. By the way, smash the like button if you're watching on YouTube. NFL career, including the playoffs, 2-10 when it's 40 degrees or colder. That's also a bad fit for New York.
Right.
Like, I mean, the guy, and that's, this is not a, we're not, I mean, it's hard to play football in the cold. But he grew up in California, played high school ball in California, played college ball in California at Fresno, played in Oakland forever, then played in Las Vegas. Like, I mean, it's just not something he's used to. Like, so it's harder to do.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob? Well, all
right. Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year. You dig? Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
CBS Friday. TV's hottest show is Fire Country.
I'm not a hero. I'm an orange for a reason.
They're taking 12 months off your sentence. You're free.
Lady.
With a special epic season finale.
Now that I'm out, I need something to get me up in the morning.
You are a firefighter.
Used to be.
That will be unforgettable.
In the name of your life's happiness, go get your girl.
She's getting married tomorrow.
Says, when do you let anything get in the way of what you want?
The Fire Country season finale. Friday, 9, 8 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
And now you're going to be in a dome. in New Orleans, again, playing in a division where you're going to be playing your road games in Tampa Bay. And
Charlotte.
Charlotte.
Charlotte's the coldest division city you'll be playing in.
Like, not only would you have to be playing in New York at MetLife, you're talking about going to New England. You're talking about going to Buffalo. I mean, though, that is a tough spot for a guy with that record when it's 40 degrees or colder. I mean, we're not...
Yeah, he would have lit up Miami.
It is 44 degrees out right now here in sunny New England, and it is like I could be wearing shorts.
It's early March. It's early March. It's like you'd be outside. You could be outside in like a light t-shirt, like a thin t-shirt and shorts, and be feeling great. Like winter in New England. I mean, I think ultimately that there were a lot of factors that were like, this is maybe just not a great fit.
Yeah, I think that's totally true. And then you look at the projections from Stephen O that he has in terms of how this works with Derek Carr going in. Basically 10% better odds to win that division, not right around 10% playoff odds for the Saints. So this is a good fit for Derek Carr. And now it's just interesting to see what happens with New York. I think that's the next team that we look at here. If you look at Carolina, the other rumored team, I think they pivot to the draft like I've been saying. So that's you're waiting a little bit for them to kind of get their ducks in a row and what they want to do, whether it's move up, stay where they are, and see what kind of quarterback they can bring in and develop. For New York, we all know that they're going to go after some sort of veteran signal caller, whether it's going to be Jimmy Garoppolo or swing the big trade for Aaron Rodgers. And if I'm them, I sit back. Like I said, I can lose out on Derek Carr and feel fine if I settle with Jimmy Garoppolo. I want to see this Aaron Rodgers thing out.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. Like, I want the upside of chasing after Rodgers with knowing we could settle for Jimmy G.
Yeah.
And now look, the Jets and the Raiders now become sort of the teams, like they're probably going to battle for it. I mean, basically it's like, whoever, one of them is probably going to get Rodgers if he's traded, or, you know, Adam Thielen was in the combine booth. It was like, he said he thinks he's going to retire, which I think is, you know, Thielen is at least, you know, mildly connected with the, you know, that division and with Rodgers. But I think that, you know, it's very easy to slot Rodgers to one of those teams and Jimmy G to the other. And it may very well be that the Raiders are like, you know, we don't want to give up all that for Rodgers. We're just going to go get Jimmy G. You see by the way, the graphic is just hilarious, because the only starting quarterback with more losses in his first nine NFL seasons since 1950, more than Derek Carr, is Archie Manning. Do you know where he piled up those losses, Sully?
With the New Orleans Saints.
That's right, with the New Orleans Saints. So welcome aboard, David Carr.
I'll tell you this, though, as we're talking about what this all means for other teams and all of that, and Jimmy Garoppolo in particular possibly going to New York or Las Vegas, I understand the connection between Garoppolo, obviously, with the Raiders and Josh McDaniels. I get that. But I don't know. Is that just not a lateral move? I mean, it's the same thing that I've been saying with the Jets, where I'd feel okay with losing out to Derek Carr to get Jimmy Garoppolo, because I feel like they're virtually the same player. I don't know why you make that move to then just settle with Jimmy Garoppolo if you're the Raiders. I think that they're due for a bigger swing, whether it's in the draft to get a young guy or to make a big trade. I don't know if that's Aaron Rodgers. I don't know if that's Lamar Jackson. But I don't feel like this is a team that all of a sudden is going to go from Derek Carr to Jimmy Garoppolo, because that just feels like a lateral move.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. Okay. Any other dominoes that we think could fall? I mean... Again, like, it really does depend on, like, okay, you got one? Go ahead.
Well, I'm just going to say this. I do think that now that Carr is in New Orleans, the next step in terms of their roster building is going to be Jameis Winston. And obviously, Andy Dalton is going to be a free agent. Jameis Winston, still under contract with the team. He's probably going to get released. So, you know, we're talking about all these teams that, whether it's an Arizona Cardinals or a San Francisco 49ers, who kind of need that stopgap veteran quarterback, or the Commanders, who keep talking about wanting to bring in a veteran. I do think that both of those quarterbacks are going to be interesting to see what they do next. Now, obviously, they're not going to be, quote unquote, the guy whenever they land to these teams. But, you know, you throw Andy Dalton or Jameis Winston and Kyle Shanahan's system for a few weeks to start the year with Brock Purdy and Trey Lance maybe not being healthy. You never know what that could look like. Or the same thing with Arizona, with Kyler Murray recovering from his ACL. Or if all of a sudden Sam Howell doesn't work out in Washington, there's a spot there for one of those guys. So I do find that interesting.
March 17th. That's about, 11 days from right now. That is when Jameis Winston has $5.8 million, becomes fully guaranteed. They could save $4.4 million in salary cap space, but they ended up having to take, God, nice job with that contract, $11.2 million in dead money for Jameis Winston. I mean, not ideal, but you're going to take the 4.4 all day and not give up the $5.8 million in guaranteed cash. So it's, I mean, all but guaranteed that Jameis Winston will be released. And yeah, I mean, they're going to have to clear the cap and get ready. And I think they can do it. It's the Saints are like one of the best teams in football at magically converting nothing into salary cap space. It's pretty wild how quickly they do it.
I remember every year we look at them and they're like 50 million over the cap. And you're like, how are they going to do this? And they always seem to do it. Crazy. Not only that, but they sign guys.
Yeah. What's crazy is they've been doing it since like 2014. Like I remember they went into salary cap. And this is like before the cap like boomed. They went into the offseason with like no salary cap space. Everybody's like, well, they can't do anything. It's like the Saints are the leading team to sign Jameer Bird. And it's like, what? Like they get this massive contract as a safety in free agency. So the Saints are capable of pulling out any sort of magic bean situation almost endlessly, it appears, and they will be doing it in an attempt to sign Derek Carr. And look, you could end up with this very easily end up with a situation where, you know, Jameis is going to cost you $15 million in salary cap space this year. You still have the 11.2 dead, but like you just structured Carr's contract in a way that you actually end up with like having less money allocated to the quarterback position than you did before.
Yeah, absolutely. And just, you know, teams do this stuff all the time. Think about last offseason when the Cleveland Browns traded for and then signed Deshaun Watson to a massive deal. They crafted that contract in such a way that he wouldn't get hit during his suspension, lose a ton of money. So like these teams are able to do some cap gymnastics if they really need to.
You can make Derek Carr's like, I mean, and you have to pay for it a little down the road, but you can figure it out.
Of course.
You can make it worth, you can make it cost like $1 million this year. It's just a viable like type of situation. Okay, any more dominoes?
I think really just now you look at New York. I think that's the next team here in Aaron Rodgers. How that's going to turn itself out, and if Rodgers decides to retire or stay in Green Bay.
If Rodgers retires, somebody's getting left without a quarterback.
Yes, and I think that would probably be the Raiders, because I think that New York goes all in on Jimmy.
But don't you think Jimmy might be like, well, I mean, do you think it becomes like two teams trying to sell themselves to Jimmy Garoppolo? Like Rodgers retiring makes Jimmy Garoppolo a ton of money.
Yeah, and those are two franchises that, like we were saying, very familiar. Robert Saleh, Josh McDaniels, there's connections there. So
but they did. Sure. They did just fire they just fired Matt LaFleur, Mike LaFleur.
Yes, Nathaniel Hackett is now their offensive coordinator. If I'm
correct. Yeah, I mean, which, you know, is fine, I guess. I mean, it is like, my point being is they had a guy that ran a system that Jimmy was like really familiar with, and then canned him, you know, to go with Hackett under the presumptive thought process that they would be able to maybe secure Aaron Rodgers. I don't know. Like, so yeah, a lot up in the air for the Jets and the Raiders. They're sort of where we'll focus our attention next. But Derek Carr signed with the Saints.
Who dat?
Who day is Cincinnati.
I always get it. Why don't I let John
Breach get in here? He's gonna start.
I know. Breach always muddle up the who day water, the who dat waters. Derek Carr to the Saints. We think it's a great signing for both sides. Makes them the favorite to win the division, but I'm not sure their upside is that high. Still, very nice move by the Saints to lock up Derek Carr. Now it's a home in New Orleans. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. For Sully, I'm Brinson. We'll see you guys later.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.